Chapter 133. Automatic Transmission Transaxle Principles. Background. Automatic transmissions were first used on a large scale in the early 1950s, and now over 95% of the vehicles in North America are so equipped. Unlike manual transmissions, most automatic transmissions shift gears by applying clutches, or bands, to hold or drive various elements of two or more planetary gear sets that provide different gear ratios. The history of automatic transmission goes back over 100 years. See chart 133-1 for a timeline for automatic transmissions. Torque converters. Purpose and function. The torque converter is located between the engine and the transmission transaxle and performs the following functions. Number 1. Transmits and multiplies engine torque. Number 2. Acts as a clutch between the engine and the transmission transaxle. And number 3. Allows slippage, which makes it possible for the transmission to be engaged in gear even when the vehicle and wheels are stopped. Parts. The three major parts of the torque converter include. Number 1. Impeller. The impeller is the driving member and rotates with the engine, and is located on the transmission side of the converter. The impeller inside the torque converter is also called the pump, not to be confused with the pressure pump. Number 2. Turbine. The turbine is located on the engine side of the converter. The impeller vanes pick up fluid in the converter housing and direct it toward the turbine. Fluid flow drives the turbine, and when the flow between the impeller and the turbine is adequate, the turbine rotates and turns the transmission input shaft. Number 3. Stator. A torque converter also contains the stator, or reactor, which is a reaction member mounted on a one-way clutch. See Figure 133-2. The vanes used in each of the three elements of a torque converter are curved to increase the angle of the fluid flow. This also increases the force exerted by the fluid and improves the hydraulic advantage. The outlet side of the impeller vanes accelerates the fluid as it leaves the impeller to increase torque transfer to the turbine. The impeller and the turbine contain a curved shelf known as split rings to more efficiently move the fluid. See Figure 133-3. Refer to Chart 133-1. Automatic transmission use, while available in some models much sooner, increased in great numbers in the 1950s. Refer to Figure 133-1. A cutaway of a Chrysler Powerflite 2-speed automatic transmission used in the 1950s. Operation. A torque converter acts like two fans pointing toward each other. Air pushed by the powered fan causes the blades of the non-powered fan to rotate. In the case of a torque converter, the two fans are the turbine and the impeller. The transmission fluid is the air that is being forced to turn the non-powered fan. See Figure 133-4. The fluid-only connection between the impeller and the turbine automatic transmission used in the 1950s allows for absorption of sudden and harsh shocks in speed and or torque. The curve of the stator vanes is opposite to the curve of the impeller and turbine vanes. Since the stator is located between the impeller and turbine, it changes the direction of the fluid as it leaves the turbine, and thereby multiplies the torque from the impeller. Torque converters are single-piece, welded and balanced assemblies that cannot be disassembled or easily repaired. Although they can be rebuilt using specialized equipment, most shops simply replace converters as a unit if they fail. Torque converter flex plate. The torque converter is typically bolted to a thin metal disc called a flex plate. The center of the flex plate often has a pilot indention for the nose of the converter, and the flex plate itself is bolted to the rear flange of the engine. See Figure 133-5. The flex plate replaces the heavy flywheel used with a manual transmission. An important function of a flywheel is to smooth out engine pulsations and dampen vibrations. An automatic transmission does not require a conventional flywheel because the weight of the torque converter provides enough mass to dampen engine vibrations. An external ring gear generally attaches to the outer rim of the flex plate, while on some applications the ring gear may be welded to the outside of the torque converter cover. This ring gear engages the starter motor pinion gear to turn the engine during starting. Some manufacturers also place the crankshaft position sensor tone ring in the outer lip of the flex plate. Note: hybrid vehicles may use a torque dampener plate in place of the torque converter. The dampener plate contains springs to absorb driveline shock, similar to a manual transmission clutch disc. It also drives the mechanical fluid pump and input shaft, however, it does not have transmission fluid, turbine, impeller, or stator elements inside it. Refer to Figure 133-2. A torque converter is made from three parts. The impeller is located at the transmission end, attached to the housing, and is driven by the engine. The turbine is located at the engine side and is driven by the fluid flow from the impeller and drives the input shaft of the transmission. The stator redirects the flow to improve efficiency and multiply torque. Torque converter drives the pump. Oil pump drive shafts generally pass through the converter inside a hollow input or transfer shaft and internally connect to the converter housing by splines or a hexagon-shaped shaft. The torque converter is also responsible for driving the transmission oil pump, sometimes called the front pump, because some early 1950s transmissions used a rear pump attached to the output shaft to allow push starting of automatic transmission equipped vehicles. The inner portion of the front pump couples to the torque converter hub by using either flats or tangs. The converter drive hub at the rear of the torque converter housing passes over the stator support and through the front oil seal to engage with and drive the oil pump. Because the shell of the torque converter is bolted to and rotates with the engine, this ensures that the fluid pump will only spin when the engine spins. See Figure 133-6. One method is to attach the inner pump gear rotor to the converter hub, most RWD transmissions, and the other is to use a separate oil pump drive shaft that connects the torque converter to the front oil pump, most FWD transaxles. Note: hybrid vehicles supplement the converter-driven pump with an electric-driven pump to ensure fluid flow and pressure even when the engine is stopped. Refer to Figure 133-3. The split rings help direct the flow of fluid and improve the efficiency of the torque converter by reducing turbulence. Refer to Figure 133-4. Two fans can be used to show how fluid, or air in the case of fans instead of automatic transmission fluid, can be used to transfer energy. If one fan is operating, the blades of a second fan will be rotated by the flow of air past the fan that is unplugged, causing the blades to rotate. Refer to Figure 133-5. The torque converter bolts to the flex plate which is attached to the engine crankshaft and rotates at engine speed. Refer to Figure 133-6. The flat sections that are cut into the hub of the torque converter are used to drive the fluid pump. Transmission input shaft. Most rear-wheel drive transmissions use an inline method to drive the converter and provide a direct mechanical connection between the turbine and the transmission input shaft. In a typical design, splines on the turbine connect it to the transmission input shaft and the stator hub mounts on a one-way overrunning clutch. The one-way clutch mounts on splines to a stationary extension of the oil pump called the stator support, or reaction shaft. See Figure 133-7. Refer to Figure 133-7. The internal splines inside the torque converter are connected to the splines on the stator support shaft and the turbine splines to the input shaft. Torque converter operation. Fluid sent to the torque converter from the transmission oil pump is picked up by the rotating vanes of the impeller and transferred to the turbine vanes. The two types of fluid flow inside a torque converter are rotary flow and vortex flow. Number 1. Rotary flow is created by the rotation of the torque converter and causes the oil, a TF, to flow around the circumference of the torque converter. Number 2. Vortex flow is the flow of the fluid from the impeller to the turbine and back to the impeller. Torque multiplication phase. Torque multiplication in a torque converter occurs due to the following series of events inside the torque converter. Number 1. Fluid leaving the turbine vane strikes the concave, or front side, of the stator vanes. Number 2. The stator vanes change the direction of the fluid so that it pushes the backside of the impeller vanes. Number 3. The stator redirects fluid flow because it remains stationary during the torque multiplication phase. Number 4. The stator hub mounts on a one-way clutch, freewheeling in a clockwise direction, but locking when driven in a counterclockwise direction. Number 5. The stator redirects fluid flow because it remains stationary during the torque multiplication phase. Number 6. When fluid from the turbine strikes the concave face of the stator vanes, it tries to drive the stator counterclockwise. By locking the stator, it can redirect the fluid back to the impeller. And number 7. The force of the fluid redirected from the stator adds to the force of the fluid flowing to the impeller, to increase the overall torque being transferred from the impeller to the turbine. This is called the torque multiplication phase. See Figure 133-8. Torque multiplication occurs whenever the vortex flow makes a full cycle from impeller to turbine, through the stator and back to the impeller. A torque converter multiplies torque in relation to the speed ratio. At low speed ratios, the impeller, engine speed, is turning much faster than the turbine, transmission input shaft speed, so a vortex flow is high and torque multiplication occurs. As turbine speed increases and approaches impeller speed, rotary flow increases, which reduces both vortex flow and torque multiplication. As the speed ratio approaches 90%, torque multiplication becomes minimal and a torque converter functions like a fluid coupling. The stator hub mounts on a one-way clutch, freewheeling in a clockwise direction, but locking when driven in a counterclockwise direction. When fluid from the turbine strikes the concave face of the stator vanes, it tries to drive the stator counterclockwise. By locking the stator, it can redirect the fluid back to the impeller. See Figure 133-9. Refer to Figure 133-8. Torque multiplication occurs when fluid leaving the turbine strikes the front of the stator vanes and is redirected back to the impeller. Coupling phase. When the speed ratio is 90 degrees or more, fluid flow in the torque converter is mostly rotary flow and the angle of flow from turbine to stator increases. This is called the coupling phase. When the torque converter reaches this phase, the turbine is traveling at nearly the same speed as the impeller, rotary flow is much greater than vortex flow, and the torque multiplication drops. During this phase, fluid from the turbine strikes the convex side, or back side, of the stator vanes rather than the concave side. As the force of fluid striking the backside becomes great enough to drive the stator clockwise, the stator one-way clutch overruns. With the clutch overrunning the turbine, impeller, and stator, all rotate in the same direction and at approximately the same speed. The stator unlocks and freewheels once the angle of fluid flow changes enough to strike the opposite side of the stator vanes and rotate the stator clockwise. Torque multiplication drops as the torque converter approaches the coupling phase because the stator no longer redirects fluid to increase the flow from impeller to turbine. When the torque converter reaches coupling speed, the turbine is traveling at nearly the same speed as the impeller, rotary flow is much greater than vortex flow, and the torque converter simply transmits torque like a fluid coupling. During the coupling phase, most converters lose about 10% coupling efficiency, which means that there is a 10% speed difference between the impeller and turbine. Refer to Figure 133-9. A stator contains a one-way roller clutch which locks it from rotating in one direction and allows it to rotate freely in the opposite direction. Stall speed. Stall speed is the engine speed when the engine drives the impeller at the maximum speed possible without moving the turbine. The engine speed at which this occurs is called the torque converter stall speed. When the impeller rotates but the turbine does not, the speed ratio is zero. This is the lowest possible speed ratio and the greatest possible torque multiplication. Most modern torque converters multiply torque in the range of 2 to 1 to 2.5 to 1 at the stall speed. Typical stall speeds are designed to match the needs of individual vehicles and engines and range from a low of about 1,450 rpm to as high in some stock vehicles as 2,500 rpm or even higher for high-performance torque converters. Normal operation. When the transmission selector is moved from park or neutral into a drive gear, some engine torque is transferred to the input shaft of the transmission or transaxle. The vehicle will move slightly if the brakes are released. This slight movement of the vehicle when the engine is at idle speed and the brakes are released is called creep. Therefore, a slight movement is normal for a vehicle equipped with an automatic transmission. Note: vehicle creep is more noticeable when the engine is cold due to the higher idle speed. Torque converter diameter. The outside diameter of a torque converter and the angle of its stator blades determine the stall speed of the converter. When both a small and large diameter converter share the same stator blade angle and turn at the same speed, the smaller converter creates less centrifugal force to move the fluid inside. As a result, the small diameter converter has a higher stall speed, multiplies torque at higher engine speeds, and will not couple until the engine reaches high speeds. In comparison, the large diameter converter has a lower stall speed, multiplies torque at lower engine speeds, and also couples at a lower engine speed. Vehicle manufacturers select torque converters to match the powertrain requirements and operating demands of each vehicle application. A vehicle with a large engine that produces a lot of torque at low RPM will often use a torque converter that couples at low speeds for greater fuel economy and lowest possible exhaust emissions. Vehicles with smaller engines that produce less torque at low RPM will use a torque converter that allows the engine to operate higher in its torque curve, where more power is available. High-performance vehicles with automatic transmissions use small diameter converters for the same reason. Therefore, the vehicle manufacturer selects the best stall speed based on the power band of the engine and the weight of the vehicle. Refer to Figure 133-10. An expanded view of a typical torque converter assembly showing the torque converter clutch abbreviated, TCC. Lockup torque converter. Purpose and function. Even the most efficient torque converters slip 8% to 12% during operation, because the fluid that transmits torque exhibits a type of slippage known as fluid shear. Fluid shear creates friction heat, but performs no work when the different layers of fluid slide past each other. Eliminating torque converter slippage can improve fuel economy approximately 4% to 5% during freeway cruising. With the increased emphasis on fuel economy and low exhaust emissions for late model vehicles, this became an important goal for automotive engineers. An additional benefit to reducing slippage is a reduction of transmission operating temperature, which increases transmission life expectancy. Lock-up torque converters reduce slippage by using a torque converter clutch, TCC, to lock the impeller to the cover, shell. Similar to a clutch for a manual transmission, a TCC uses a friction disc operated by a hydraulic piston to mechanically couple the turbine to the converter, or cover or shell. Engaging the clutch creates mechanical connection between the engine and transmission, resulting in a direct 1-to-1 drive ratio without slippage. See Figure 133-10. Converter clutch control. The first hydraulic lockup converters were controlled entirely by hydraulic pressure and spool valves in the transmission valve body. Some older designs added simple electric switches and solenoids to control pressure to the converter clutch. Since the early 1990s, the powertrain control module abbreviated PCM, or the transmission control module abbreviated TCM, regulates the timing and application of the clutch. The torque converter clutch operates under the following conditions. Lockup may also be limited to specific vehicle speeds or operating conditions. For most vehicles, lockup can occur at speeds over 25 to 30 miles per hour, or 40 to 48 kilometers per hour, but can occur sooner in many newer transmissions transaxles. Once lockup occurs, the clutch may disengage automatically during certain operating conditions such as part or full throttle downshift. At these times, the increased acceleration requirements generally override the need for better fuel economy. Most computer systems can lock and unlock or modulate a converter clutch hundreds of times per minute to meet the vehicle demands of the moment, and some recent systems also allow a partial lockup of the torque converter. Traditional lockup torque converters operate either locked or unlocked. Partial lockup converters allow a regulated amount of slippage at the clutch. Each type of torque converter requires a certain type of friction material. See Figure 133-11. This allows the converter to lock up smoothly, improving fuel economy and performance, without the drawback of shock to the driveline. Using the wrong type of automatic transmission fluid can alter the frictional properties of the lockup clutch, leading to shutter or other similar customer complaints. Most lockup converters automatically disengage the torque converter clutch each time the brake pedal is depressed by the driver or if the accelerator pedal is released for more than a couple of seconds, which is necessary for vehicle deceleration without stalling the engine. See Figure 133-12. Refer to Figure 133-11. Torque converter clutch friction material is determined by the vehicle manufacturer to provide the needed coefficient of friction needed. For example, many older units use a paper-type friction material because they are fully applied or released, whereas most newer units use a synthetic material such as Kevlar or carbon fiber because the torque converter clutch is pulsed on and off, therefore requiring a more robust material for a long service life. Refer to Figure 133-12. A cross-sectional view of a pulse-width modulated abbreviated PWM torque converter clutch. The powertrain control module pulses the control solenoid, which then controls the fluid flow to apply the torque converter clutch. High performance tip. Use a smaller diameter torque converter for improved performance. A smaller than stock diameter torque converter will not be capable of absorbing as much torque as a larger stock torque converter. As a result, the stall speed is increased. Because an engine develops more torque with increased speed, up to a point, the smaller torque converter will allow the engine to increase to a higher speed and create more torque to the transmission than would be capable with the stock torque converter. This is especially helpful for modified engines because an engine having a camshaft with increased lift and duration usually lacks low RPM torque. By using a smaller torque converter, the stall speed is increased to better match the engine torque. Caution. Using a torque converter with a different stall speed rating is likely to increase exhaust emissions and decrease fuel economy as well as void the warranty on the vehicle. Refer to Figure 133-13. The gear selector is often called the PRNDL, pronounced Prindle, regardless of the actual letters or numbers used. Shift modes. Most automatic transmissions and transaxles include the following shift modes. See Figure 133-13. Park. In the park position, the output shaft is locked to the case of the transmission/transaxle, which keeps the vehicle from moving. No power is transmitted through the unit, so the engine can remain running while the vehicle is held stationary. In the park position. Number 1. The engine can be started by the driver. And. Number 2. To move the shifter out of the park position on a late model vehicle, the brake pedal must be depressed to release the brake transmission shift interlock. Reverse. The reverse gear selector position is used to move the vehicle in reverse. Reverse usually uses a lower gear ratio than any of the forward gears. Neutral. In the neutral position, no torque is being transmitted through the automatic transmission transaxle. In this position, the engine can be started by the driver. Overdrive, or OD. The OD is the normal position for the shift selector for most driving conditions. This position allows the transmission or transaxle to shift through all forward gears as needed for the best fuel economy and lowest exhaust emissions. Drive, or D. The D position includes the overdrive ratios in most vehicles. If there is an overdrive shift mode, however, then D is used to provide all forward gears except overdrive. Use this position when driving in hilly areas or when towing in the vehicle equipped with an overdrive selection. Third. In third position, the transmission transaxle will upshift normally to third gear but will not upshift to a higher gear. When the third position is selected while driving in a higher gear, the transmission will downshift into third if the vehicle speed is low enough to prevent the engine from being over-revved. This gear selection is used for the gentle grades at a moderate vehicle speed. Second. The second position is used for slowing the vehicle while descending long grades. In this gear selection, the vehicle speed is controlled and the engine speed is increased to provide engine compression braking. This gear selection is used for the gentle grades at a moderate vehicle speed. First, or low. The first, or low, position is used for slowing the vehicle while descending long grades. In this gear selection, the vehicle speed is controlled and the engine speed is increased to provide engine compression braking. This gear selection is used for the steepest grades at the lowest possible speed. Planetary gear sets. Purpose and function. In a manual transmission, different gear ratios are obtained by sliding the gears into mesh. However, torque flow must be momentarily interrupted, accomplished by using a clutch, before the gears are shifted. With an automatic transmission, there is no driver-operated clutch, so gear shifts are not made by sliding gears into mesh. Most automatic transmissions use a planetary gear set system that does not require manual gear shifting or an interruption of torque flow to change gear ratios. Parts and operation. A simple planetary gear set consists of three primary components. Sun gear. Planet carrier, including planet pinion gears. And. Ring, or, annulus, gear. As discussed in the last chapter on transfer cases, the sun gear gets its name from its position at the center of the gear set. The planet carrier holds the pinion gears, also known as planet gears, which revolve around the sun gear. The planet carrier assembly is commonly referred to simply as the carrier. The outermost member of the gear set is the ring gear, the internal type with teeth inside. The ring gear is sometimes called an annulus or internal gear. The pinion gears are in simultaneous mesh with both the sun gear and the ring gear. See figure 133-14. The pinion gears are free to rotate on pins that are part of the carrier, and the entire assembly rotates to direct torque flow. Most transmission gear sets use 3, 4, or even 5 planet pinions. The pinions are fully meshed with both the sun gear and internal ring gear at all times. The planetary gear is never disengaged to change gear ratios. Torque is simply redirected. The torque flow through a planetary gear set, both input and output, occurs along a single axis. The parts in a planetary gear system may be known by several different names. Refer to figure 133-14. A typical planetary gear set showing the terms that are used to describe each member. Refer to figure 133-15. A typical planetary gear set showing the planet carrier which supports all of the pinion gears, also called planet pinion gears. Planetary gear set torque flow. In a planetary gear set, the following is done to achieve the various gear ratios in reverse. One of the members is being driven, input. One of the members is being held, reaction member. One of the members is the output. Therefore, driving one gear will cause all of the other gears to rotate as well. This allows the gear set to provide different gear ratios, depending upon how torque is distributed through the assembly. To transmit torque through a planetary gear set, a drive member rotates while a second member is held, which causes a third member to be driven. See Figure 133-15. Each member of a planetary gear set can play any one of these three roles to transmit torque. The various combinations of drive, held, and driven members result in the number of gear ratios available and change the direction of rotation as well for reverse. Note, the held member can also be allowed to move one direction or another as it is being held and does not necessarily need to be held to 0 RPM to create a variable gear ratio. This is done in hybrid electric vehicle transmissions. Torque flows through a planetary gear set in several steps to get from the drive action of the first member to the driven action of the last member. The terms drive and driven simply describe how any two gears work together. When three or more gears are involved, the second gear is a driven gear in relation to the first, but it becomes a drive gear in relation to the third gear. For this reason, the drive member of a planetary gear set is known as the input member, the held member is the reaction member, and the driven member is the output member. Refer to Figure 133-16. Maximum reduction can be achieved by using the sun gear as the input, holding the ring gear and using the planet carrier as the output. Refer to Figure 133-17. Minimum reduction can be achieved by using the ring gear as the input, holding the sun gear and using the planet carrier as the output. Refer to Figure 133-18. Reverse can be achieved by using the sun gear as the input, holding the planet carrier and using the ring gear as the output. Simple planetary gear set systems. A simple planetary gear set system consists of one sun gear, the carrier, and a ring gear. A single planetary gear set can provide all of the necessary gear ratios for a basic automatic transmission. See Figures 133-16 through 133-18. A simple planetary gear set is often used together with a compound planetary gear set to provide additional gear ratios. See Chart 133-2 for the six possible gear ratios and how they are achieved. Refer to Chart 133-2. If any two members are locked together, then the resulting output is 1-to-1 ratio in the same direction as the input, direct drive. If no member is held or locked, then there is no output, or neutral. Refer to Figure 133-19. A Simpson planet gear set is composed of two ring gears and two planet carrier assemblies that share one sun gear. Compound planetary gear set. A compound planetary gear set system is a configuration that contains more than just the three basic members of a simple planetary system. A compound planetary gear set is one or more simple planetary gear sets with one or more common gears. Compound planetary gear sets are capable of providing various combinations of gear reduction, direct drive, neutral, reverse, and overdrive. Simpson gear set. One of the most popular compound planetary design is the Simpson gear set. Named for its inventor, Howard Woodworth Simpson, 1892-1963, an American automotive engineer, the Simpson gear set consists of two simple planetary gear sets that share a common sun gear. See Figure 133-19. This combination is capable of providing three forward gears, as well as neutral and reverse. Basic operation, construction, and methods of obtaining various gear ratios with a simple planetary gear set also apply to the Simpson gear set. The main difference is the number of gear ratios that are available using more than one planetary gear set. Ravino's gear set. Another popular compound planetary design is the Ravino's gear set. The Ravino's system has the following: two sun gears, two planet pinion sets, one longer than the other, supported in one carrier, and a single ring gear. See Figure 133-20. This design provides four forward gears, two in reduction, one direct, and one overdrive, as well as neutral and reverse. Basic planetary gear set operation, construction, and control methods also apply to the Ravino's gear set. An overdrive ratio means the following: the output shaft is rotating faster, higher RPM, than the engine crankshaft. The ratio is always expressed to the relative ratio of the input shaft speed so that all overdrive ratios are less than 1. For example, 0.75:1 is an overdrive ratio, meaning the output is rotating 25 degrees faster than the input shaft speed. Frequently asked question: what companies build automatic transmissions? Many larger automobile manufacturers make their own automatic transmissions, including General Motors, Ford, Chrysler, and Honda. However, several companies manufacture automatic transmissions and transaxles that are used in a variety of vehicles. These include ZF, Friedrichshafen AG, This German company manufactures manual and automatic transmissions and transaxles for many vehicle manufacturers, including Mercedes, BMW, Volvo, VW, Audi, Jaguar, Chrysler, Bentley, and Maserati. Aisin AW. This Japanese company makes automatic transmissions for many vehicle manufacturers including Ford, Toyota, Nissan, Mazda, Mitsubishi, Subaru, Kia, and VW. JATCO, or Japan Automatic Transmission Company. This is a Japanese manufacturer of automatic transmissions and transaxles for many vehicle manufacturers, including Nissan, Mazda, Infiniti, VW, Mitsubishi, and Suzuki. Refer to Figure 133-20. Aravino's gear set is composed of two sun gears, one planet carrier that supports two sets of pinion gears, and a single ring gear. Frequently asked question. What do all the letters and numbers mean in transmission designations? The numbers and letters usually mean the following. Number of forward speeds. The number of forward speeds may include 4, 5, or 6, such as GM, 4T60E 4-speed unit. Front-wheel drive or rear-wheel drive. The letter T usually means transverse, front-wheel drive transaxle, such as the Chrysler 41TE. The L means longitudinal, rear-wheel drive transmission, such as the General Motors 6L 8.0, and the R means rear-wheel drive such as the Ford 5R55E. Electronically controlled. The letter E is often used to indicate that the unit is electronically controlled, and M or H is used to designate older mechanically, or hydraulically, controlled units. All automatic transmissions built since the early 1990s are electronically controlled, therefore, E is often included in the designation of newer designs of transmission or transaxles. Torque rating. The torque rating is usually designated by a number where the higher the number, the higher the amount of torque that the unit is designed to handle. In AGM 6L 80E the torque rating is 80. Always check service information for the exact transmission designation for the vehicle being studied or serviced. Refer to Figure 133-21. On one style of transaxle the turbine shaft drives the input shaft through a drive chain assembly. Lapelletier or gear set. The Lapelletier gear set was invented by Pierre Lapelletier, a retired engineer who devised a unique way to create a simple and efficient 6-speed automatic transmission gear set. It was first produced by ZF in 2002. The Lapelletier gear set is constructed by connecting a planetary gear set in front of a Aravino's gear set. Besides ZF, General Motors uses the Lapelletier gear set in the 6L 4.5, 6L 5.0. and 6L 9.0 rear-wheel drive transmissions and Ford uses it in the 6R60, 6R75, and 6R80 transmissions. Automatic transaxles. Terminology. Automatic transaxles include a differential assembly as well as the planetary gear sets of an automatic transmission. The engine torque also needs to be transferred by the use of a chain or gears to provide a shorter overall length so it can be used with an engine mounted transversely in the engine compartment. Some use gears and others use a chain to transfer engine torque to either the planetary gear sets or to the differential, or, final drive, assembly. See Figures 133-21, and 133-22. A transaxle can be used in the following applications. A front engine, front-wheel drive. A rear engine, rear-wheel drive. A front engine, all-wheel drive. And mid-engine rear-wheel drive. Final drive units. A transaxle includes a differential assembly, often called a final drive assembly as part of the transaxle. This final drive assembly connects the output from the gear sets to the drive axle shafts. The final drive assembly includes the side gears and pinions gears as well as the housing. See Figure 133-23. Non-planetary gear automatic transaxles. Honda and Saturn vehicles use an automatic transmission with no planetary gear sets. This type is similar to and uses many of the same parts as their manual transaxles. This design uses hydraulic clutches instead of synchronizers to make the shift between gears. By using the same parts as manual transaxles, this automatic transaxle has the following advantages. Number 1. It allows both manual and automatic transmissions to be manufactured in the same plant, therefore reducing cost. Number 2. By using many of the same parts for both manual and automatic transaxles, manufacturers see a cost reduction. And number 3. Honda automatic transaxles are diagnosed, and if an internal fault is detected, the entire assembly is replaced with a remanufactured unit. Honda dealership technicians do not repair automatic transaxles. See Figure 133-24. Continuously variable transmission. Terminology. A continuously variable transmission, abbreviated CVT, is usually found on some front-wheel drive vehicles that use a transaxle. Instead of using three or more gears, a continuously variable transmission uses two variable width pulleys, sometimes called variators, to change the gear ratio from about 2.5 to 1 to an overdrive ratio of 0.5 to 1. See Figure 133-25. Refer to Figure 133-22. Another type of transaxle uses a chain to transfer engine torque from the output of the gear sets to the differential. Assembly, final drive. Refer to Figure 133-23. A cutaway showing the final drive assembly of a transaxle. Purpose and function. The purpose and function of a continuously variable transmission is to allow the engine to operate in a speed range where it is most efficient. Therefore, instead of causing the engine speed to vary as the transmission shifts gears, the engine speed is more constant as the pulleys change to increase the speed of the vehicle. The result of using a CVT is improved fuel economy and reduced exhaust emissions. Parts and operation. The two pulleys are moved at the same time. One pulley is made smaller in diameter while at the same time the other pulley is enlarged. This change in pulley effective diameter allows the drive chain to move, thereby changing the ratio between the input and output pulleys. The chain is pushed rather than pulled through the pulleys and is made of hundreds of individual steel elements. See Figure 133-26. The CVT is constructed very similar to other electronically controlled transaxles, with the primary difference being the use of a belt and pulley system instead of multiple planetary gear sets or meshed helical gears. The transmission has a total of four parallel shafts. An input shaft. A drive pulley shaft. A driven pulley shaft. Secondary gear shaft. The secondary gear shaft is comprised of the secondary driven gear and the final drive gear. The final drive gear is meshed with the final driven gear, which is attached to a conventional open differential assembly. When the transmission is placed in park, the parking pawl interlocks with the park gear, which then holds the secondary drive gear stationary. See Figure 133-27. Refer to Figure 133-24. A Honda non-planetary gear set type automatic transmission that uses helical cut gears instead of planetary gears. Hydraulically applied clutches as commanded by the PCM with fluid flow controlled by shift solenoids to make the shifts. Refer to Figure 133-25. A belt and pulley CVT uses variable width pulleys and a special chain to provide an infinite number of speed ratios. Refer to Figure 133-26. CVT belt construction. Refer to Figure 133-27. Honda CVT power flow in park and neutral. CVT operation. The pulleys used in this CVT design can vary their width by varying the hydraulic pressure applied to them. Each pulley has a movable face and a fixed face. The movable face for each pulley is attached to a piston that has hydraulic control pressure applied to it. Higher application pressure on the movable face causes the pulley to become narrow, which makes the steel belt ride closer to the outside diameter of the pulley. A lower application pressure will allow the pulley to become wider and the belt to ride closer to the pulley's axis. If a low hydraulic pressure is applied to the drive pulley and a high hydraulic pressure is applied to the driven pulley, a low speed ratio is achieved. As the vehicle speed increases, the drive pulley will have progressively higher pressure applied to it, while the driven pulley application pressure is lowered. This results in a higher speed ratio, allowing the engine to operate at a lower RPM. See Figure 133-25. There are three multiple disc clutches used in the internal gear. Train, one for each of the following. Forward clutch. Reverse brake. Start clutch. In the Honda Civic CVT, a start clutch is used instead of a torque converter, which slips when the vehicle is stopped with the engine running. See Figure 133-28. In park, or neutral, none of the clutches have hydraulic pressure applied to them, which prevents engine torque from being applied to the drive pulley shaft. The forward clutch and the start clutch are in operation whenever the transmission is placed in a forward gear position, DRL. See Figure 133-29. The start clutch has multiple responsibilities, including: Number 1. The start clutch is engaged whenever the vehicle is moving, either in forward or reverse. Number 2. It helps the vehicle accelerate from a standstill by slipping and then fully engaging once the vehicle is moving, similar to a manually operated clutch. The Honda CVT, like any other automatic transmission, uses hydraulic pressure to perform its various functions. The belt drive, the multiple disc clutches, and the control system would all stop functioning without hydraulic pressure. This pressure is supplied by a chain-driven pump that is driven by the transmission input shaft. Since the input shaft is driven directly by the internal combustion engine, hydraulic pressure is only present when the ICE is running. Automatic transmission fluid is held in a pan that is bolted to the bottom of the transmission case. The ATF pump draws fluid through a strainer that is located in the pan, and sends this fluid onto the system through a pressure regulator valve. Note: some vehicles equipped with a continuously variable transmission have shifter paddles on the steering wheel or a manual shift mode on the gear selector. When using these paddles to upshift or downshift, the transmission control module selects pre-programmed ratios, which give the driver a sense that it is actively shifting gears. Refer to Figure 133-28. Honda CVT operation in drive, or low. Refer to Figure 133-29. Location of the Honda CVT start clutch. Frequently asked question. What is it like to drive a vehicle equipped with CVT? For most, driving a vehicle equipped with a continuously variable transmission is the same as driving the vehicle equipped with a conventional automatic transmission transaxle. The vehicle creeps slightly when the brake is released and the vehicle accelerates normally when the throttle is opened. Because no shifts occur, the first thing the driver and passenger notice is that it is very smooth. If the vehicle is equipped with a tachometer, the driver may notice that the engine speed increases when first accelerating and often remains higher until the vehicle speed increases. During periods of rapid acceleration, the engine speed may be close to its maximum and thereby create noise and vibration often not experienced in a similar vehicle. However, the fuel economy savings of a CVT compared to a conventional automatic transmission makes the slight difference a reasonable trade-off. Servicing a CVT transmission. The Honda CVT can be pressure tested and stall tested just like any other automatic transaxle when diagnosing transmission malfunctions. These tests must be performed according to manufacturer-approved procedures, and test results compared to charts published by the manufacturer. One service item that is unique and very important is the start clutch calibration. This procedure must be performed whenever any of the following vehicle components is replaced or removed. Number 1. Battery. Number 2. Backup fuse. Number 3. Transmission control module. Number 4. Transmission assembly. Number 5. Lower valve body assembly. And Number 6. Engine assembly replacement or overhaul. Details for performing these procedures can be found in Honda Service information. The purpose of the procedure is to allow the TCM to memorize the feedback signal for the start clutch control. Malfunctions in the start clutch control system can occur if this procedure is not performed at the appropriate times. See Figure 133-30. Fluid level checks are performed with the vehicle sitting level, transmission up to the operating temperature, but with the engine turned off. A dipstick is used to check the level, and fluid may be poured into the dipstick pipe to bring the level up if it is low. Be sure to use only manufacturer-specified fluids when topping up or replacing transmission fluids. Refer to Figure 133-30. The Honda CVT transmission control module, showing the inputs, or sensors, on the left and the outputs on the right. Refer to Figure 133-31. A dual clutch automatic uses the best features of an automatic transmission without the power loss of a torque converter. Dual clutch automatic transmissions. Purpose and function. A dual clutch automatic transmission or transaxle uses a manual type transmission and two clutches that engage either the main input shaft or the counter shaft to achieve the following goals, compared to a conventional automatic transmission or transaxle equipped with a torque converter and planetary gear sets. Number 1. Improve the fuel economy. Number 2. Reduce the cost of the assembly by using manual transmission components. Number 3. Improve the speed of the gear changes. And Number 4. Provide smoother operation. Parts and operation. A dual clutch automatic transmission uses two clutches that are mounted together concentrically. The larger clutch drives the odd number gears, 1st, 3rd, 5th, and 7th. The smaller clutch drives the even number gears, 2nd, 4th, and 6th. See Figure 133-31. The shifts occur without interrupting the torque from the engine by applying torque to the clutch while at the same time disconnecting the other clutch. These actions result in a rapid shift without the slight delay usually associated with an automatic transmission. There are two types of clutches used depending on application. Number 1. Dual dry clutches are used in low-powered vehicles such as small front-wheel drive vehicles. See Figure 133-32. Number 2. Dual wet clutches are often used in higher-powered vehicles. Vehicles that use a dual-clutch automatic-type transmission include certain models of Audi, Nissan, Mercedes, BMW, Porsche, Ford, Ferrari, VW, and Mitsubishi. Refer to Figure 133-32 dual-clutch automatic transaxles that use two dry clutches. The larger clutch drives the odd number gear ratios, first, third, and fifth, and the smaller clutch drives the even number gear ratios, second, fourth, and sixth. Advantages. The advantages of a dual-clutch automatic transmission compared to a conventional automatic transmission include: Number 1. Quicker throttle response. Number 2. No drop in engine speed when the driver releases the throttle. Number 3. Instant gear changes. And Number 4. Improved fuel economy. Disadvantages. The disadvantages of a dual-clutch automatic transmission compared to a conventional or continuously variable automatic transmissions include: Number 1. No torque multiplication advantage of a torque converter. And Number 2. Not as fuel efficient as a continuously variable transmission or transaxle. Review questions. Question 1. How can torque converters double engine torque? Question 2. What are the three members of a planetary gear set? Question 3. How can various gear ratios and reverse be obtained by using a compound planetary gear set? Question 4. How does a continuously variable transmission provide variable ratios? Question 5. How does a dual-clutch automatic transmission shift gears? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Two technicians are discussing automatic transmissions transaxles. Technician A says that it is normal for a vehicle to move slightly when the gear selector is in the drive position with the brakes released. Technician B says that the stator may be defective if the vehicle moves while in gear when the engine is at idle speed. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither technician A nor B. Question 2. How much is engine torque increased or multiplied when a typical torque converter is at stall speed? A. Double. B. 4 times. C. 8 times. D. 10 times. Question 3. Technician A says that a held member is also called the reaction member. Technician B says that if any two elements are locked together, then the output will be 1-to-1. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 4. Technician A says that all dual-clutch automatic transmissions use two dry clutches. Technician B says that some automatic transmissions do not use planetary gear sets. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 5. Technician A says that a held member is also called the reaction member. Technician B says that if any two elements are locked together, then the output will be 1-to-1. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. Technician A says that when an automatic transmission transaxle shifts into overdrive, the output shaft is rotating faster, or higher RPM, than the engine crankshaft. Technician B says that an overdrive ratio is a ratio where the first number is less than 1. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Technician A says that one planetary gear set can provide gear reduction, overdrive, and reverse. Technician B says that most transmissions today use compound, or multiple, planetary gear sets. Which technician is correct? A. Technician A only. B. Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. Automatic transaxles include a what in addition to the planetary gear sets? A. Transversal. B. Dry clutch. C. Differential assembly. D. Spur gear. Question 9. A CVT type transaxle uses a what instead of planetary gear sets?
A.
Belt and pulley system.
B.
Helical gear set. C. Spur gear set. D. Dry clutch. Question 10. Technician A says that all dual clutch automatic transmissions use two dry clutches. Technician B says that some automatic transmissions do not use planetary gear sets. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B.
Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 133.